Tony Clark is Green Party prospective parliamentary candidate for Northampton North. He's also their spokesperson on international and foreign affairs. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Helen.
Was it worth it?
No, I mean, with Afghanistan, you have to understand that it was one of those wars that Britain never voted for. I was in Parliament at the time when we first got involved, and it took until 2009 for there to be any vote. And what you had was mission creep. You had support for America's actions following, of course, 9/11. And when you enter into a military conflict with no clear plan, with no real way of measuring success, then you're in trouble. And you can't bomb an ideology. And you know, people have lost their lives, unfortunately, our troops, but of course as well as civilians, for what? For no reason.
Why did we go into Afghanistan in the first place? Was it purely the war on terror?
Yes, I think it was about that so-called special relationship. I think that at the time, America had to be seen to be doing something to stop the terror camps. And of course, you remember Osama bin Laden was operating in Afghanistan. But, you know, we haven't stopped that. We've just moved it. It moved across into the Pakistani mountains. Now, of course, it exists in Iraq and Syria. And we're still repeating the same mistakes. We just keep sending missiles in, bombs, millions of pounds per missile. And it doesn't really address the fundamental issue is how can we bring stability to those countries? How can we deal with ideology and battle it internationally rather than thinking that Britain and America can somehow bomb their way to some sort of resolution?
Alan there said that we're not the army for the world. He's got a point, hasn't he?
He has, to the point that we shouldn't really be looking at the army and at the military as always the way to resolve these issues. And I think that, you know, we do need a world response. We do need diplomacy. But you can fight a lot more effectively with words and with understanding than you can with cruise missiles and with weaponry and with troops on the ground. And, you know, I think if you know, the military themselves have admitted that this was a grave error. And, you know, those troops, those brave troops who fought for things such as to make sure that young girls could go to school in Afghanistan, must now look at what's happening and seeing the Taliban coming back onto the streets, taking over those cities, and saying, well, what happened there? What happened to the sacrifices that we made? Because now everything's back to as it was before.
Tony, some people might struggle to understand why it's any of our business.
Well, yes, of course, you know, the Brits, we're pretty good at that, aren't we? I mean, we cause most of the world's problems. When, you know, we look across the Middle East, for instance, and Afghanistan, it was British Empire and British control, which destabilised tribes and communities and set up governments which have been fought for years. I mean, you know, you have to remember that Britain and America were funding the Mujahideen against Soviet troops in Afghanistan prior to 2001. And we created and we armed Al-Qaeda and the Mujahideen in the same way as we recently armed ISIS when we thought that they would take out Assad in Syria. So when people ask why we're involved, we're involved because we involved ourselves for reasons of grabbing power, land and influence.
Has anything good come out of the war in Afghanistan?
No. You've probably got 20,000 civilian lives, and it's always the civilians that are forgotten about. You've got 450, probably 500 UK members of the troops, armed forces that have lost their lives. You've got a couple of thousand, 3,000 maybe American troops, and we're back to square one. So, you know, and also, you know, you've got billions of pounds that have been spent on war. Now, you imagine if we'd have spent just a fraction of that amount in providing aid and support to Afghanistan to make it a more democratic country without them looking down a barrel of a gun. If we'd have worked with Saudi Arabia, and if we'd have worked with Russia, and if we'd have worked across the world to provide structures that promote peace, then maybe we could have done something. But all of those billions wasted, all of those lives wasted, and, you know, shocking abuse of the use of our armed forces.
But can you talk to warmongers? Because that's what you're suggesting, isn't it?
No, what I'm saying is that there's better ways to tackle ideology than the military hardware. And I think that if countries work together and ensure that on the ground we offer alternatives to communities that sometimes see the Taliban, sometimes see ISIS as their rescuer, as their saviour, then we can have more effect. And you know, that's the real issue here. You've got communities that people are struggling to exist, and nobody comes to their assistance and aid. And so that allows somebody like ISIS or the Taliban to go in and fester and infect. And that's where we've got to be clever in terms of trying to strengthen communities without going in with our size nines and guns and troops on the ground, because by then the war, in terms of the war for knowledge and education, is often already lost.
You mentioned you were in Parliament when we went to Afghanistan, Tony. Did you raise these objections at the time?
Oh, I think we tried to raise them as much as we can. I mean, you know, I think officially people will say that we only really got involved in 2006. After I left, but you know, many of us knew that we were involved a long, long time before that in supporting America's campaign from 2001 onwards. And I think that's also something that the British public are becoming more and more conscious of, that we don't get asked. We just get told in our newspapers that we're at war and we must support our troops because it's the patriotic thing to do. But nobody says, hang on a minute, you know, what are we trying to do here? What's this about? What's the outcome? Will it be effective? And we're asking those questions in Parliament and not getting answers. And you know, it's not about foresight. I don't take any pleasure in saying, look, you know, we warned you this would happen and now it's happened. You know, I'm disgusted, and I'm very sad that it's cost so many lives to find something out that really was staring us in the face all those years ago.
Do you think we'll end up going back into Afghanistan?
I don't think the country matters. I think until we have a change of governance, I think we'll continue to enter into conflicts such as Afghanistan, as we are possibly now on mission creep in Iraq, Syria again, in terms of, you know, we start off by saying, well, we'll have air support and we'll take part in airstrikes, and then something else happens. And of course, there's, you know, this massive humanitarian need to save life, which we have to respond to. But the problem is if we keep doing that alone with America, then it means that we're in a state of perpetual, continual war with an ideology, with no chance of success, and all we do is act as recruiters for those that want to spread that hate.
Why is it only us and America who seem to do this?
Maybe it's greed, maybe it's control of power, oil, resources. Maybe we think that traditionally, historically, we've got some special role. Whatever it is, I'd like to tackle those within the public school sector that teach our future leaders that we're still an empire, because we're not. And, you know, I think that we've got too many of our politicians, too many people in Parliament who think that, you know, the empire still exists and we're still ever powerful. And we're not. We're in an international world community, and we've got to work to live together and understand each other rather than always point a gun at each other.
It's interesting you say about politicians not necessarily listening to people, because there was a poll done in November, Tony, about the war in Afghanistan when we started withdrawing the troops. 59% of people thought that it wasn't worthwhile, only 22% thought that it was worthwhile, and 44% of the people think that we should never have sent troops to Afghanistan. 20% think we were right, but we should have withdrawn them sooner. The people didn't want this, so why did the politicians want it?
Well, you know, people are saying that now, of course, but I think, you know, at the time when we enter into these conflicts, the media whip up anti-foreign feeling, and you then have polls.
He was there, and he has...
For us to...
You disappeared for a second, Tony, sorry.
I'm on a ferry, would you believe it, not over to the Isle of Wight. So we might lose signal, my apologies. But no, you know, I think it depends on when you say the poll. I think if you took the poll at the start of conflict, people are all gung-ho and say, yes, we support our troops. But when reality sinks in, then, you know, realism sinks in and people say, actually, no, it wasn't such a good idea after all. I'd like to educate us better so that we can make the right decisions in the first place.
Have any lessons been learnt?
Probably not. Unfortunately not. I hope so, if more people now start waking up and thinking for themselves rather than letting the newspapers and the politicians do it for them.
Tony, thank you very much indeed. I'll let you get to the Isle of Wight. Tony Clark, who is the Green Party parliamentary prospective candidate for Northampton North in the forthcoming general election. He's also their spokesperson on international and foreign affairs. So what do you think? Was the war...